he found. There is just as much interest in wisdom now as there was then, although we might not call it that anymore. But just think of all the advice columns in magazines and phone-ins on the radio and daytime television. Think of all the television programs and books telling us how to cook, how to do up your house, how to be successful with the opposite sex, how to survive a tornado or a shark attack, how to pass a driving test. I even saw some books advertised that tell you how to wash. Mind you, I expect some people need that. There's a book giving you wise advice for everything, isn't there? Or think of all the counsellors and advisors and people who make money giving advice to others about anything and everything they might need help for. Well, Aim, I want to see how good you folks are at seeking out wisdom. Where would you go for wisdom if you needed it for these little questions? Okay, you need to lose a bit of weight. You need to lose a bit of weight. Who do you ask for advice? Do you ask Renee Zellweger? She's an actress, folks. Would you ask Pastor Tom Chapman? Would you ask youth worker Gaius Fillingham for advice about losing weight? Or would you ask Weight Watchers? Where would you go for advice? Renée Zellweger? She loses lots of weight, but she also puts it back on again for the next film. So, any other thoughts where you might go? Weight Watchers, I think that's a rather wise place to go for your advice on losing weight. Okay, good question. Good one. Next one then. You want to know whether a certain special person is the right person for you. Who do you ask for advice on the matter? Do you ask your mum or dad? Do you ask your best friend? Do you ask the special person's jealous ex? Or do you ask a random survey of passers-by? Who would you ask? Best friend? Or perhaps mum and dad? I reckon both would be potential good source of advice. Yes, they would. You don't have to do what they say. And if you've asked, then they'll help you out later on if it goes wrong. That's wisdom for you, you see. Get people on side. Yes, you wouldn't ask their jealous ex, and you wouldn't ask a random survey of passers-by. Well, I thought so anyway. One more. I, Tom Chapman, wish to improve my image, to be more cool and fashionable. Who should I ask for advice? Should I ask? Number one, Gaius Fillingham. People are laughing. Do I ask number two, the members of AIM? I should think so. Or is it number three, nobody could help me to be more cool? Or is it number four, anybody could help me to be... I suspect that AIM would give me the best advice out of this crew, don't you? I think they know the most about this subject. Yeah? You know how to be really, truly wise, of course. It's not to know all the wisdom yourself. Most of us will never know even a tiny shred of the wisdom in the world. In fact, there is really only one piece of wisdom that any of us really need to succeed in life. And that piece of wisdom that we all need is to know where to go to find the wisdom that we don't have. Who should we ask when we don't know ourselves what to do or which way we should go? The Bible has a lot of wisdom hidden away within it, but perhaps the single most important piece of wisdom that we find in the Old Testament is this, from Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 9 verse 10. All wisdom comes from God. And if you want to be wise, you have to start with him. You have to honour and respect him. That's what the fear of the Lord means. And then the New Testament adds something else very interesting on the theme of wisdom. It says, you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 30 in the text I hope you've got open. So this seems to be saying that to know this wisdom from God, we need to know Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is God's wisdom come to us in a special way. Or another way of putting it, Jesus fulfills all the wisdom that we read in the Old Testament of the Bible, like those Proverbs which were being read. And this is our theme for these Sunday evenings, how the Old Testament points us forward to Jesus in different ways. One kind of teaching in the Old Testament is wisdom. Different books contain it. Job has wisdom about suffering. Song of Songs has wisdom on love and relationships. Proverbs has wisdom on life, and so on. Wisdom, as we were thinking about this morning, doesn't claim to give you everything. It's not necessarily about absolute rules and cast iron promises. Wisdom is about principles that guide us through a confusing world and enable us to live successfully in spiritual terms. And all the wisdom in the Bible, and in fact, all the wisdom in the rest of the world, points us to Jesus Christ. So if we want to be wise, we too need to start with him. Now how and why does that work? Well, we've just been seeing that we need to pick carefully who we go to for wisdom and advice. And ideally, I think there are at least three things which guided who we said we'd go to for advice in those questions. First, when you're looking for wisdom, you need to go to someone who knows what they're really talking about, don't you? Second, you also want to go to someone who actually does what they're talking about, who puts it into practice themselves. And third, you want to go to someone who will actually help you do what they're talking about. Someone who's on your side and will give you what you need and help you actually achieve it. And I think we're going to see that Jesus does all these things in the ultimate sense. First of all, Jesus knows what he is talking about when it comes to wisdom. One essential part of wisdom is simply to understand thoroughly what is going on in a situation. So I don't ask Gaius for wisdom if I want advice on being stylish and cool, do I? I ask those who know about such things. The crowds flocked around Solomon because he knew and understood things that they didn't through his great knowledge and God-given insight. So his word had authority. From anything from how to live to how to look after your pet reptile. And where did that knowledge and understanding come from? Not from his own cleverness and learning, although he did plenty of that. It came fundamentally from God, didn't it? It says, God gave wisdom to Solomon and very great insight and breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. And in fact, all true wisdom does come from God, whether people know it or not. God is wisdom in himself. He summarizes what wisdom is. Just as all the goodness in the created world points to God's ultimate goodness, so all the true wisdom in the world points us ultimately to God's wisdom. And there still is plenty of wisdom even in the non-Christian world. The Bible itself contains wisdom that originally came from outside sources. For instance, King Lemuel is quoted, and he wasn't an Israelite as far as we know. The Bible writers were inspired to recognize as true wisdom that came from other places and had no problem doing that. The trouble is about the wisdom in the world is that so much of that original God-given wisdom has been lost or forgotten, or twisted, or confused, or covered up by our foolishness and our sins. So that a lot of what gets called wisdom and recognized as wisdom in our world is actually nothing of the sort. It's downright foolishness. Solomon was given an extra helping of wise knowledge by God. Knowledge that would enable him to make his nation great and pass on wise advice to others. But even Solomon himself didn't know everything. Jesus' wisdom was different. Jesus didn't need to be given his wisdom specially from God. because it was his by right. Because Jesus, of course, is God, God the Son. God the Son existed before Jesus' birth, before time began. Through him and by him, the whole universe was created. Everything that the Father knows, every thought the Father thinks, he also knows and thinks alongside him. So when in Luke chapter 2 it says Jesus grew as a boy in wisdom, he wasn't being given wisdom and knowledge from other people, so much from his parents and teachers, so much as growing up into the awareness of what was already his all along as the Son of God. Now Jesus' teaching shows us right and wrong. It shows us good and evil. But Jesus also taught better from best. Good living from bad living, successful living from unsuccessful living. How to live for the best as well as avoid things that are forbidden. And that's what wisdom is about. Notice two things about our society today. Notice, first of all, that society in general is rejecting the wisdom of Jesus in so many areas. On marriage and relationships, on worry and ambition, on money and greed. We think we can just throw all that old-fashioned rubbish out of the window. No good anymore. Old hat, people think. Notice, second, that in those areas where society has done that, it is getting into a mess. Divorce is increasing. Relationships are in a mess. People don't know if they're coming or going. There's more violence, sexually transmitted diseases, depression, addiction, obesity, anxiety, stress, debt, more people going to prison. You name it. Jesus' teaching was never a magic wand. Nobody pretends that those issues would all go away overnight if everyone became a Christian. But in general, the more we listen to Jesus' wisdom, the less these things would be the problem that they are. And vice versa. Why can we be sure that Jesus' wisdom is right? We can be sure because it comes straight from the horse's mouth. It's wisdom straight from God. And the wise words of the Old Testament point us forward to the ultimate wise word himself. So if you want your life to improve in simple, practical ways, measured in spiritual terms, not worldly terms, if you want to live a successful life in those terms, well, wise up and pay attention to Jesus Christ. Jesus is God's wisdom, first, because he knows what he's talking about. And second, because he does what he's talking about. Jesus didn't just teach wisely, he lived wisely too. He actually did what he said. I could give you lots of theoretical advice about losing weight, just as I could tell you how to do a parachute jump. But you wouldn't trust me about it because I've never had to do either. And I'm sure that Gaius could give you very good advice about losing weight as well. He knows what he's meant to do. But alas, ever since the AIM tuck box lock was broken, those Mars bars have got the better of him, and he still leaves that cupboard door open as he works away in his study. I don't know, you wouldn't take his wisdom too seriously on that matter, would you? And this was Solomon's problem, you see. He had all this theoretical knowledge and wisdom about all kinds of subjects, from how to live and love and rule a kingdom well, down to what snakes had for breakfast. But at certain key points, he didn't put the wisdom into practice. He didn't do it himself. He hoarded wealth for himself, for instance. Not wise. He abused his subjects and lost their confidence. Not wise. He married hundreds of women. Certainly not wise. And he worshipped other gods as a result. Stupid, stupid, stupid Solomon. And so for all his wise words, by the end of Solomon's story, you find that he's just a sad, silly old fool, like so many others in this world. You still respect the things God inspired him to say and did through him years ago, but you don't respect him anymore, do you? You feel sorry for him.
So it's as if the Old Testament wisdom waits not only for someone to teach wisdom perfectly, but also for someone to come and live wisely themselves. And Jesus is that one. Jesus, in that respect, couldn't be more different from Solomon. He always practiced what he preached. He never said something that he himself would not do. He obeyed all the wisdom from the Old Testament perfectly. Nobody, best friend or worst enemy, could find a single true accusation to bring against him. And that's why Jesus' life was such a wonderful success, wasn't it? That's why he did so well in everything he set out to do. That's why Jesus has gone down in history as one of the greatest ever achievers who everyone else who wants to be something in the world sets out to emulate. Is that right? No. Not quite. Hang on a minute. Did I just say that Jesus was a success because he was wise? Must be kidding. I mean, think about it. Jesus, yes, had all this knowledge and power. He could have done anything he wanted. Yet he lived like a tramp and borrowed and bludged his way around Israel for 3 years. He surrounded himself by drips and goons, one of whom he knew was a traitor all along but did nothing about. He made enemies of all the people who mattered in life, and he was disappointed and pushed away nearly everyone else. And then he walked straight into a trap and got himself humiliated and tortured and killed like a common criminal. Now, do you really call that wise? Do you really call that success? Do you really expect other people to take you seriously if you think that's the best way? Yes. Because God's wisdom is not like our wisdom. Human wisdom says, do the best you can for yourself. Be strong, be clever, be tough, be streetwise. Make the right allies. Learn the tricks of the trade. Play the game. Know where you're at. Make friends and influence people. Be a cool, canny customer. God's wisdom says, trust me. Even if it seems absolutely stupid to do so. Trust, fear, and obey God. Even if it means giving up everything and dying on a cross and looking like an absolutely stupid loser to the rest of the world. For as you might see in 1 Corinthians chapter 30, the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 25. You see, on the cross, Jesus turned all the clever thinking of the world upside down. And the simplest fool who knows nothing about anything at all, except that he should trust and obey God, is actually a million times wiser than the cleverest scholar who knows everything about everything, but does not trust God. And of course, Jesus' foolishness and failure did turn out to be very wise and successful in the end. He died on the cross and lost everything, trusting that God the Father would raise him from the dead and give him even more than he had before. And of course, he did. If only Solomon had taken his own wisdom on board. If only Solomon had trusted God himself instead of trying to be clever and do his own thing. Well, it's too late for Solomon, but not for us. If you want to be truly successful in God's eyes, not the world's eyes, then follow the example of Jesus Christ. And that will mean, if you set out to be a Christian, there will be times when the wisdom of the world says you have to be clever, play the game to get ahead, and be what you want to be. But God's wisdom will say, no, be humble, do something that looks silly and stupid in the world's eyes, but you know is right to God. And that will affect very tangibly things like your career, or your choice and future in relationships, or your social life, or your leisure life. But Jesus shows in his own practical life that to trust God pays, even when it hurts as bad as nails in your hands. So we get to the last point. Firstly, if you're wise, you seek out someone who not only knows what they're talking about, and also does what they're talking about, but finally, someone who helps you with what they are talking about. You see, Renee Zellweger knows all about losing weight. She does it all the time for films. But if you rung her up for a chat and asked her a bit of advice about weight loss products that she's found helpful for cellulite or something like that, "Hey, Renee, can you give me a hand here? What should I try?" I think you'd get short shrift, because she doesn't care about you. And she is rather busy and rather important and getting on with her next film. She's not going to talk. Your special person's jealous ex may well have very strong ideas about how well you would get on with their beloved, but don't expect them to help you achieve it. And anybody in the world knows more about being cool and fashionable than I do, but they probably couldn't do a lot to help me. Even the Old Testament wisdom, it's very, very helpful in terms of keeping on the right path in life. But it's less helpful when you've strayed off that path, when you've messed up and need to start again, and it's too late to learn the wisdom that could have saved you. Speaking theologically, the Old Testament wisdom category owes itself in the main to the creation stream in biblical thought rather than the redemption stream in biblical thought. That's the main connection made with God the Creator rather than God the Redeemer. And that means the Old Testament wisdom has, if you like, a bit of a gap within it. The Old Testament wisdom is waiting for someone to come along and complete it, to tell you what to do when you found that you've gone a long way down the broad, wide road, the foolish road, and the narrow road is a long way off, and you can't get back. Well, God's wisdom is complete in Jesus, because not only does he tell us what to do and show us that he himself has done it, but he also helps us. He gives us what we need to get back from the road to destruction and on to the road to life. Look again at 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. "It's because of him, God, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." And those are important words that tell us that Jesus has actually done something for us to set our lives straight. Because if you're overweight, you go to Weight Watchers for help. Not only do they know what to do and have been there and done it themselves, they are actually there to help you achieve it too. And if you want advice with your love life, you ask your mum and dad or your best friend, because they know you really well. Maybe better than you know yourself. And they've got experiences that you haven't got. And they care about what happens to you. And they want to help. And they're the ones who'll be there to pick up the pieces if it doesn't work out again. They've got an investment in you. And if you want fashion wisdom, you ask the members of AIM, since they is cool and happening and knows where it is at. They will gladly rescue you from social oblivion. But what about if you are fundamentally foolish? You know, when people get their lives into a mess and they come to realise what they've done, they nearly always say at some point something like this: "Oh, I've been so stupid. How could I have said that? How could I have done that? How could I not have seen what I was getting myself into? I feel such an absolute fool." Well, I bet you felt like that often enough, haven't you? Who do you go to then? Well, if you know you are foolish, if you know that time and time again you do silly things and bad things, you let yourself down so you feel embarrassed and ashamed of yourself, a million miles from a strange and far off God, well, wise up. Because if you know that, you're halfway to wisdom already. Go to Jesus Christ, because his wisdom, his trusting God enough to sacrifice his life for us, provides for us the way back to our Father in heaven. He is the righteousness, the holiness, and the redemption that we silly people need. And it doesn't matter how clever you might be, how respected and astute others might think you are, how profound your individual thoughts might be. If you don't start with God, you're a fool. And it doesn't matter how stupid you've been, how ridiculous and embarrassing other people think you are, how gormless you continue to be, there is only one simple shred of wisdom that you need to shine up there with the wisest of them all. And that piece of wisdom is trust Jesus Christ. Let him be God's wisdom for you. As we finish, let me read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 18 to 31. You might not grasp the meaning of every verse, but I hope you get the sense of it as we reach the end. Paul here is writing to contrast the true message of the gospel with that of the clever, strutting, false teachers who had gone to Corinth and said they were the ones who had true wisdom. He writes, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate.' Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It's because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our redemption, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, 'Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord.'"